Hey, if you go with me to Acts, and as we do, we have got a wonderful person, Eva McClure, who has God, we really believe God has brought her to our valley for such a time as this. And she asks, she goes, "Can I be a member of your church?" And we said, "Yeah." How many know Eva? Isn't she the best? So Eva, would you come up here? We want everybody to see who you are, and we want to officially give you the right hug of fellowship. And we want to pray a blessing on Eva because the Lord has put some great ideas in her heart, and I'm not going to talk about it yet, but we just want to bless her and say thank you that God brought her into our family. So our board said 100% yes. It took about 1.2 milliseconds for them to say yes, because we know your heart for Jesus, and we're grateful that God has brought you here. Deb, would you come join with me? Deb, my wife, my love. You taking care of a disaster?
Yeah.
Here, you're going to get the double squeeze.
Well, that's good.
Father, we bless Eva, and we thank you, Father, already the impact she is making in the lives of people, the love she has for you and the love she has for others. It's evident. And God, we as Valley family, we say yes and amen, Lord, that she's not joining a church, she's part of our family. And that, God, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you that she has come filled with love. And Lord, we love her back. And Lord, this day we just say yes, and we welcome her, Lord, and grateful that you have brought her to us, and that we to her. And we bless, and we say yes and amen, Lord God, to your purposes in her life and through her life, all together as family. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. And amen. Amen. Can we bless Eva? We bless you.
Thank you.
Thursday was the National Day of Prayer. Also, for the Star Wars geeks, it was May the 4th be with you. Yeah, I got some geeks. There you go. I like you. And I want us to take a moment and pray for our nation together. And then we're going to get into our time in the Word. Father, we thank you for our country. And Lord, as we'll look later, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Peter 2, and Romans 13 tells us how we are to respond to those in leadership. And Paul said that it pleases you when we pray and intercede for kings and all those in authority, that we might live peaceful, quiet lives in all godliness. So, Lord, we pray for those from the local, state, and national level that have been put into positions of authority. And God, we choose today not to comment on whether we agree with their decisions. We choose today to go to a higher level of obedience, and we just simply pray for them in Jesus' name. And we pray, God, that we pray for them that we may live a quiet life in godliness and holiness. And Father, we pray that the decisions we've made and the choices that they make would, Father God, somehow work into your divine kingdom and plan and purpose. And God, in Jesus' name, we bless this country. We don't curse it. We bless this country because, Father God, we bless because you bless, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For Acts chapter 1 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you," and we've modified that to "we have received power." Holy Spirit has already been given, and we'll work our way through this. But in preparing for today, I wanted to go back a few verses. To verse 3 is going to be kind of our focus of Acts 1. And Acts 1:1, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts and also, as you know, wrote the book of Luke, was not one of the 12, as you know that. He wasn't one of the called ones. He was like a forensic scientist. He interviewed people. He interviewed, had eyewitness accounts. He went and he thoroughly checked the testimony and the story of Jesus to see if it was real. And then he wrote his book about it, the book of Luke. And so he's writing verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And you've read Luke's story, we see just a glimpse of that. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So when Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he wasn't just kind of hanging out until Pentecost so that we can have a name, you know, the outpouring of the Spirit could be called, we could be called Pentecostals. That wasn't his goal. For 40 days, Jesus was talking to the disciples what he had been teaching them the previous 3.5 years. Because when Jesus came, he didn't come bringing a gospel of salvation. He came bringing the kingdom message, the kingdom of God. And Luke says, I began to record all that Jesus began to do and teach. What he did was he demonstrated the kingdom of God by healing people, by forgiving people, by living it out amongst his disciples. By all these demonstrations, Jesus would demonstrate the kingdom, and he'd also teach the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, such is the kingdom of God. Jesus' life was demonstrating and teaching what the kingdom of God was about. So for the 40 days prior to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus continued the message. It was about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is so much more than an idea or a concept or just a prayer, come kingdom of God, to be done will of God. It's so much more than that. It is a practical way of living that is beyond our human capability. And so Jesus said in context, as he's talking about the kingdom of God, he says, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift my Father has promised. That for them to live out the kingdom of God as he taught it and as he lived it and as he demonstrated it, it's something beyond our capability. And he said, you will receive power. And in the context, receiving power for what purpose? To live out the kingdom of God. To demonstrate the kingdom of God. To proclaim the kingdom of God. You and I need power to do that. So, you shall receive power, and who that power is not just this force. It is the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling in our lives in such a way that we view life, we live life, we demonstrate life in a way that is different from the community around us. Now, when I talk about the kingdom of God has a different standard than any other kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God has different priorities than any other kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God lives out differently than any other kingdom in this world. And I just wrote down a few. The list is not exclusive by any means or exhaustive, but here's just a few things about the kingdom of God that I know. First of all, there are no boundary lines of the kingdom of God. In essence, there is no geographical location of where the kingdom of God is. And in Luke 17, the Pharisees asked Jesus, when is the kingdom of God coming, right? And whenever you hear the Jews talking about the kingdom of God, what you should hear is Israel. When is Israel going to be restored? And Jesus responded this way. He said, the kingdom of God does not come with careful observations. So in essence, if we just obey all the laws and do everything right, that's not going to bring the kingdom of God. That's not what it's about. Because the Pharisees thought if we could just be really righteous and really be legalistic righteousness, then God would be pleased and the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus said, it's not about that. And he says, nor will people say, here it is or there it is. And this is the beauty of it, because the kingdom of God is within you. So no matter where you go, you carry the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God doesn't have boundary lines or geographical location. It is within you. Say it, it's within me. Okay? That's where the kingdom of God lives. It's within you. Secondly, the kingdom of God has a different government. We are not a government, we're not part of a government based on laws, but we are a part of a government based on love. So as the kingdom of God is not, I don't do this, I don't say that, I don't go here, I don't smoke that, I don't drink that, I don't eat that, don't go to this place. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's based on love. Romans 13 says that all of the laws of the Old Testament can be based on this one thing: love your neighbor as yourself. Because love does no harm to its neighbor, so love is the fulfillment of the law. So we are not a part of a government based on laws. We are a part of a government based on love. Can somebody say yeah to that? I think that's really, really cool. Also, we respect, because we're part of a different government, we still respect and pray for those in authority. Like I said, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Peter 2, Romans 13. But we are called to obey a higher authority, listen now, without rebelling against whatever authority the nation we live in. I'm going to say this again. We are called to obey a higher authority, the kingdom of God, without rebelling whatever authority of the government we live in. And I want you to encourage you, read, if you don't believe that, read 1 Peter 2, when Peter is talking to persecuted Christians under the Caesar of Rome, under his thumb, who was killing them and persecuting him. Peter says, honor the king. Amen. See, that don't make sense unless you're a person of the kingdom. So we see this in action in Acts chapter 4. Just real quick, just kind of laying some foundation. In Acts chapter 4, we see the authority of the religious system of the Jews called the Sanhedrin. In Acts chapter 4, here's what it says in verse 18. It says, the Sanhedrin called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John replied, now look at the respect, look at the honor, but also look at the higher call of obedience. Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right to, in God's sight, to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. What honor he gave them by saying, you have to make this determination if it's right or wrong, but we need to obey God. We're going to obey the Father. So understand that you and I, because we have a higher authority and a higher obedience, there are times in which the laws of the nation we live in and the laws of God are going to come into conflict. They're not going to come together. We need to obey the higher law of the kingdom without dishing on the lower law of the nation we live in. Okay. The kingdom of God is a different economic system. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. The scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive, and it's amazing. Think about this with me. The kingdom of God doesn't tax its people. You will never be taxed. You won't have a pew tax, a Bible tax, a worship tax, a sanctuary tax, a forgiveness tax, a healing tax. You're not taxed in the kingdom of God. Thank you. We are not taxed by the king. We have a different economy where we give out of love and gratitude with joy to the king who loves us and has given us everything. Yep. Right? So you, and I don't mean any offense by this, but you're not going to get a letter from the CRS, the church, instead of the IRS, and turn around, the church, you know, you're not going to get a letter saying, where you didn't pay your tax this last week, and so you've got fines to pay. You've got an interest, and unless you want to go to jail, you better pay your church RS. Doesn't work that way. It is out of love that we give to the kingdom, and we are generous people because we love the king.
Amen. Yes.
Should I jump off the giving one? Can I the kingdom of God has a different military force. I love our army. I salute. I shake hands. Every time I see a veteran with a hat on who's served somewhere, I shake their hand and say thank you. I appreciate what they have done. But the kingdom of God doesn't fight its wars that way. Ephesians 6 says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. Second Corinthians says, though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What are we talking about? We don't go after people. We go behind the spiritual entities that are influencing the people. That you and I have an authority. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. So that you and I, when we became followers of Christ, we were signed up into an army to fight an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy.
Amen.
So we don't, if you see in the name of Christ, people are blowing people up, or in the name of Christ, people are shooting people, that is not Jesus Christ. Because this kingdom doesn't fight its battles that way. Has a different educational system. We read, we apply our minds to reason and thinking, but here's the thing about the kingdom of God. Understanding of His word only comes through revelation by the Spirit. Right? That's just a few. We haven't gotten to the medical system yet. That's another one that we have a different medical system. And we also have a different retirement plan. Ours is called heaven. You know? Right? I mean, it's like streets of gold. If that's real, come on, man. Where are you retiring to? Oh, I got streets of gold. You know, that's a nice retirement program. Where's that at? Well, you got to... Right, so... So Jesus told his disciples, he said, before you engage in this kingdom life, in essence, because the context of the scripture was this, on one occasion, as he was teaching them about the kingdom, and on occasion while they were having dinner, while he's talking about the kingdom, he said, don't engage in this life. You need power. Don't just start it. Just don't go after it. They've been trained. They've been taught. They've been with Jesus. But he said, there's one more element you need. You need power. You got to have power. And that power would result in the ability to live the kingdom, to be witnesses, to live the kingdom of God. And we learned from last week from Kittle's Theological Dictionary, this word power, the word stems from this, the ability, the capability, the possibility. That when Jesus said you shall receive power, it's ability, capability, possibility outside of human ability, capability, and possibility. That, dear ones, this life of the kingdom is beyond us in our humanness just to try to live it out. You're going to burn yourself out. You're going to tire yourself out. It is awful to try to live the kingdom of God without power, because it becomes rules you have to live by. It becomes things you have to do. But when you shall receive power, God says, I'm going to give you power, the ability, capability, and possibility, physically, intellectually, and spiritually, to do something that you can't do by yourself. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So, last week, it's not you shall, it's we have. Can you say it with me? I have received power. We looked at how the Holy Spirit has come. And Paul said in Ephesians that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that He's already here. Peter even identifies with it. On the day of Pentecost, when they came and the people thought they were drunk with wine, Peter stands up and he says, no, this is what the prophet Joel spoke in Acts chapter 2. And he says this, the Lord says in the last days, what? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Amen. Do you know there are people right now who don't know Jesus Christ, who God has poured his spirit out on him and on her? He didn't say on Christians, he said all flesh. That on everybody, God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. Now everyone is going to get a chance to respond. Everyone has the possibility. You don't have to go to the guru on the mountain. You don't have to go to the cool pastor with the hip jeans and the great communication skills. God says, my Spirit is on you right now so that we can respond to it. And here's what He says is going to happen. Your young men shall have visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Upon men and women, young and old, I am going to pour out my Spirit on all people. Now, here, 2017, right now, Holy Spirit is being poured out on us. And Jesus said in John 14, He's not just going to be with you, He's going to be in you. Right? I need somebody to help me this morning. Right? I mean, right? Right? I mean, he's here now. And what does he do? He empowers us to live the kingdom. And so what he says we can do is we can pray for people and they can get better. Okay, we don't do that. We have power. We have been given power that we can just, in the name of Jesus. And Marcia was just telling me about a lady Thursday whose shoulder was awful bad and just God healed her shoulder. And we kind of go, well, that's what God does. But do you get it? That is amazing. That is phenomenal that God says, if you will pray, I'll answer you. And that part of that is eyes opening and ears opening. And come on, Pentecostals, let's not get used to that. Let's not just go, well, that's just part. No, this is, you shall receive power. Wow. Do you know there have been times where I have talked to somebody, and maybe you've done this before as well, and all of a sudden you have these thoughts about that person that there's no way you could know about that, but God downloads some insight to show them how much he loves them, and they go, how did you know that? We've received power. That's how. See, this kingdom life is not mystical or magical. It's, we've received power. Do you know there are times, can I tell you that I can talk in a language I have never learned? I don't have the Rosetta Stone. I don't have an app on my phone. I can do it right now. That I can talk in a language that I don't even know what I am saying. But there's something in my heart that goes, I'm connecting with God right now. How does that happen? You receive power. Right? Gift of faith, gift of miracles, gift of healing, gift. These, we receive power to live out this kingdom life. Christianity can be too boring if we don't have power. Christianity is like, oh, I went to church today. I sang some songs. I gave some money. I went home. Blah, 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 blah. But when you receive power, and here's the other thing. I'm reading verses in the Bible that I have read probably hundreds of times, and it's still going, and I'm reading, I'm going, you got to be kidding me. This is amazing. I've read one book for 30 years. One book. It's like someone gives you a book and says, you should read this book, and you go, oh, that's a good book, and you put it down. Where's the next book, right? Oh, that was a good book, but you put it aside because you want the next book. I have read one book for 30 years, and still it's like blowing my mind. One book. I've received power. For us to understand this book, you have to receive power. For us to understand the revelation of what God has done through this book, and this is kind of what I want to focus in for the last couple minutes, that this book, without the Holy Spirit going, look at this, can become like, and there have been times in my life, man, where I'm plowing, I'm digging, I'm looking for something. There have been seasons in my life where the word just seems kind of, it's okay, I know this. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit goes, and you see something you have never seen before, even though you've read it a bunch of times, it is amazing. This week, I'm reading Ephesians for the 6,000th time, and I'm walking away going, this is phenomenal stuff. We all should read this. It's wonderful. You shall receive power. And I want to focus on someone. Because the Word of God, this is not God, this is His Word. This is not, God doesn't dwell here. This is a book, right? This is our, these are His words given to us, revealed by the Holy Spirit. This is part of how the transformation Holy Spirit works in our hearts, takes His word, makes it real, makes it applicable so that we can live out the kingdom. And I want you to look with me, a guy, and we've looked at him before, but go to me to Acts chapter 9. And it's a guy, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Pharisee Saul. And Saul, as a Pharisee, at minimum, would have had to memorize the first five books of the Old Testament. Now, pause for a moment. Genesis. Thank you. I can't remember the five books. Wow. I'm not going to be a Pharisee. Okay. at minimum the five books and the Psalms. But in all actuality, he probably memorized, if not all, most of the Old Testament.
That's right.
Memorized it. I can't even remember my birthday sometimes. He memorized it. Now think about it for a moment. Saul, who memorized the whole, if not all, most of the Old Testament, right? Still didn't catch that it was Jesus. In fact, Jesus said to the Pharisees, here's what he said to them in John 5, and then we're going to go to Acts 9. He says, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The Old Testament testified about Jesus. Paul memorized the Old Testament, and he couldn't see Jesus. So in Acts chapter 9, what happens? He has the encounter with the Lord, knocks him off his horse. You're persecuting me. And in verse 17, God sends one of his servants, Ananias. He goes from the supernatural encounter, knocks him off his horse. He's blinded. He has to be brought into Damascus. And now he speaks to a human being to go talk to Saul. And in verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, how did he know that? He wasn't there. He received power, right? And he had the gift of discernment or the gift of insight here. Has sent me so that you may see again. Would you say those last words with me? And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you say it with me? To see again and be filled. That's what we're talking about. This life of you shall be baptized, you shall be immersed, that your life is changed because of Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. I believe something internally fell from his eyes too. He got up. Okay, now he's saved because the evidence of salvation is baptism. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus at once. Say at once. Say it with me really loud. At once. Okay, so here he is, memorized the Old Testament, and he's using that to kill the sect out, to go after Christians. Now he is baptized, he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and at once, it says this. He began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Where did he preach from? The Old Testament scriptures that he memorized. Now he could see that Jesus is the Messiah. Before that, he couldn't see it. He had it memorized. He was a religious dude. He was that kind of guy that moms, you want your daughter to marry because he was an upstanding man. But he was not saved, and he did not see Jesus until he was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now at once, the same scriptures that he memorized became the proof that Jesus was the Messiah. My friends, we can sit in church week after week after week, and I'm glad you are, but we need power. Right? We need power. We can hear a sermon. We can read the scripture. We can listen to a tape. We can watch somebody on TV. But it's the Holy Spirit who says, I'm going to give you power to have this revealed to see it. That's where transformation comes. That's one of the ways God transforms us.
Amen.
All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem? Yes, he was. Among those who call on this name, and hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yes, he did. Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, dear God, let that be in our lives, right? Let people say, aren't you that? Weren't you that? What happened to you? We receive power. So we've got to understand, dear ones, for us to even let this word get deep into our heart. It has to be revealed by Holy Spirit. My job, my responsibility, even when I don't have these aha moments, is to put this word of God in my life, to read it, to look at it, to study it, to go into it. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to reveal it. And when it's revealed, we live what we believe. And when we believe this is true, transformation happens. Now go with me to one more verse. Go to me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Somebody say, yeah. So, this is just brilliant. 1 Corinthians 2 is brilliant. I got notes all over the place in this chapter alone. Just like, wow, ooh, ah, cool. And I don't have time. I've got less than 10 minutes. I don't have time to unpack this like it should, but I do want to bring some insight to it because Paul now talks about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul deals with what I'm talking about. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, he deals with three kinds of people, okay? I'm not trying to categorize you or put you in a box, but there are three kinds of people when it comes to the revelation and understanding of Scripture, the cross, the kingdom of God, all these things, these words we talk about. There's three kinds of people. And we're going to start from chapter 3, and then we're going to go back to the middle of chapter 2, and then we're going to get to the front of chapter 2. So we're going to start, first of all, We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. And Paul says, a person who was without the Spirit of God, a person who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ, a person who isn't regenerate in Christ, a person without the Holy Spirit, here's what Paul says about him, about them. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words. The man without the Spirit, the woman without the Spirit, the human being without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So a person who does not have Holy Spirit within them, when we preach the word, or you read the word, or you hear the word, Paul says that they look at it as foolishness. They look at it as silly. They look at it as absurd. That when a person without the Spirit of God, and you talk about, let's just say this, you talk about healing, a person without the Spirit of God goes, go to a doctor. That's silly. Why are you praying for somebody? When you talk about giving money away for others, a person without the Spirit goes, well, that's just silly. Why are you doing that? That's your money. You worked hard for it. Keep it. Spend it on yourself. A person without the Spirit doesn't get the kingdom of God. The person without the Spirit doesn't understand the word of God. It's silliness. It's absurdity to them. So Paul was such a person. Very religious. Knew the word of God, yet until he encountered Jesus, baptism, and an infilling of the Holy Spirit, the transformation of understanding the word of God was not in his life. So here's why I got to ask you this question. I think it's a fair question. If preaching or reading the word of God or hearing the word of God, your response is, well, that's just kind of stupid. That's kind of silly. That's really absurd. If that's your response, the question you have to ask is, do I really have the Spirit of God within me? Amen. I'm not saying you don't understand some things. I'm saying the response to his word is, that's silly. And I think it's a fair question. Okay, let me move on. The second is this, worldly people. Say worldly people. Chapter 3, brothers. Starts off with brothers, family. These are people who are followers of Christ. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? So these are people who have received Jesus Christ, but live in such a way as they have, like they haven't. They're saved, but they're immature. They're still controlled by the prejudices of the world. They're still controlled by the viewpoints of the world. That whatever the society says, that's how they view the world. And in this case, Paul recognized they were worldly. Why? Because they were jealousy and there was quarreling among them. So, believers like this, Paul calls them, and no offense, childish. And dear ones, people like this live more according to human standards than the kingdom of God. Infants that are self-absorbed, self-centered, self-focused. It's part of immaturity. Now, unfortunately, as I was reading these verses, I found myself in there sometimes. Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the amen there. Thank you. Have you ever found yourself immature, self-centered, self-focused?
Amen.
That's worldly. And what Paul's trying to say is that these things of the Spirit cannot be embraced if we've got this point of view of living. Think about infants. Paul says you need milk. Think about an infant. You put a steak right in front of them, and if what happens if they try to eat that steak? What happens? They choke. Have you ever read something from God's Word and you choked on it? Love your enemies and do good to those who spitefully use you. Right? You got to get a Holy Spirit Heimlich. Right? Right? Have you ever been offended by the Word of God? Have you ever had a preacher get up and talk about something and you go, you know? It's the Word of God. It's not make it up. It's the Word of God. And you begin to... What's the problem? What's the issue? Immaturity. Paul says, I can't address you as spiritual, but as worldly. You're still immature. You still need milk. You know, Mike, talk about how much God loves me and how he just everything I do is okay because he loves me. Okay. Get the steak out of the way. Give me the bottle. And one of my pastor friends used to say, for some of us, we got to part the gray beard to put the bottle in. Sorry, didn't mean to be offensive on that. The way that Jesus, listen, as I have loved you, love each other. People of the kingdom go, yeah, I'm leaning into that. People of the world go, what about me? What? Do you know someone actually sat in my seat? You mean that you expect... Thank you. Exactly. There it is, right there. Right there. There she is, right there. I'm offended. You offended? Wait a sec. The Bible says if you're offended, go to your brother and make it right. Well, he has to come first. I'm not going to go first. He has to go. Wait. Now, I know this could be a little, I don't mean to be a jerk about it. I don't. I've seen myself in this many times. I've seen where, man, I've got the Spirit of God, but I still have values of the world that still penetrates too much of my heart. What's going to happen to the economy? Am I going to have enough for retirement? Why, I can't give because what if the economy, I can't, and it's like, wait a sec, we live in a kingdom. And it might be that we don't have everything. But we keep saying if we have Jesus, that's enough. Well, Jesus and my retirement is enough, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? We keep adding to this thing where Paul says, there is so much I want to tell you, but you're not ready yet. And dear ones, wherever you choke on the scripture, wherever something goes, and here's what I did when I was younger. If something bothered me, I just stopped reading it. No problem. I don't know. No issue. So I take the Bible and I go, no problem. And then when God answered my prayer, he was so good. And then when he didn't, right? Come on, guys. Come on, the Church of Jesus Christ. There is so much more. But Paul says, you're worldly. I got to jump off that one. Thank you for saying yeah. 1 Corinthians. Let's go to the spiritual person. 1 Corinthians, look what Paul says. Verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So the wisdom of this age is coming to nothing. No matter what, we honor and respect those, but the wisdom of this age is coming to nothing. It's just going to end up zero when it's all said and done. Verse 7, no, we speak God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. So God kept a secret wisdom. Old Testament pointed toward it, and now it was revealed to Paul and the apostles, and now they're telling us about it. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So either that was Satan, who was the motivating behind that, or actually Pontius Pilate and the religious leaders in the Roman government. If they would have known this, it was hidden from them, they couldn't see it, they would not have killed Jesus. Verse 9, however, as it is written, now think about this again, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. This is used for heaven. I think it's okay, but it's not just for heaven. It's for now. It's for right now. Okay? Now listen, no human eye, no human ear, or no human mind can understand what God has prepared for us. In our humanness, in just being a person, we can't understand that all God has done for us. There's no way you can see it. People saw Jesus heal people, and they still went and told the Pharisees to try to get Jesus in trouble. Jesus would proclaim the word, he who has ear, let him hear, and they still couldn't hear it. The disciples still couldn't conceive all that God has. They were still going back for, is Israel going to become the kingdom? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? But God has revealed it. He's thrown back the covers. He is, what is hidden is now exposed. And how does he do it? By his Spirit. And now Paul goes into the human way, trying to use a human explanation. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So here I am. I'm talking to you. You're listening to me. I have no idea what you're thinking right now. I'm talking to you here, but my mind could be in Hawaii right now. You have no idea what's in my heart until I tell you. I don't know what's in your heart until you tell me. Because you could be sitting there going, man, this is awesome, Mike. Or you'd be sitting there going, I'm hungry. I want to go home. Until you tell what's going on in your heart, no one knows what's going on in your heart. And the same way, God has things in his heart. And the way in which he tells us is by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will tell us the things that are in God's heart. And what does he tell us? He says in verse 12, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. That Holy Spirit wants you and I to understand all that God has freely given us. And we can read the scripture and say that in Ephesians, God has lavished his grace on us, and we can say, cool. We can see Romans chapter 5, where God has poured out his Holy Spirit of love into our hearts, and we can say, cool. But it's the Holy Spirit takes the heart of God, and he reveals it to us, and then we understand all that God has freely given us. And this is what I'm praying for every day for all of you. Every day, throughout the day, I don't have 100 prayers. I'm praying the same thing over and over and over. God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Dear ones, it's already there. Are you a person without the Spirit? You won't understand it. If you're a person who is immature, you're unwilling to grow and walk in this life, then it becomes... If you're a person who is maturing in God, you go, I'm getting it. more and more. I mean, he's seeing it more and more. I'm understanding more and more all that God has done for us. How does it happen? God has revealed it by his Spirit. I'm done. If anyone says amen, I'm going to... Yeah. God has already freely given it to you. Already. It's yours. You don't have to, it's already yours for those who are followers of Christ. It's yours right now. Right now, this day, 2017, it'll be yours tomorrow and the next day. It's already been given to us. All that we need for godliness and holiness. It's been given to us. It's already ours. Someone say yes and amen to that. Okay, now we need to see it.
Yes.
Right? When we see it, transformation happens. When we see it, if you don't see it, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. If you find yourself choking on something in the Word of God, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Understand that Holy Spirit is right there. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, pray this prayer. If you're real God, show me. I want to know. I don't want because Mike says it. I don't want because I saw some televangelist. I want you to show me, are you real? Have the courage to pray that prayer and see what God will do to show you I'm real. Because until you see it, it's not real. Stand with me. Thank you for your time and your patience. I need to pray for Bob. We're going to pray for you today, Bob. Because the kingdom of God is not just about words. It's about demonstration. Now, it's not a performance. God doesn't perform. He doesn't. But in his love, he demonstrates his kingdom. When you love somebody that's unlovable, you've received power. When husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, you can't do that, guys. You have to receive power. When we live this life of love, we have to receive power. And that's what we're praying for. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Every moment of every day, you said, Jesus, it's good that I'm going away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. It makes so much sense. That Holy Spirit, you are in us every moment of every day, empowering us to live the life of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not a place or a location. It is the King's reign in our lives. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray again for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that being rooted and established in love, we may know how high and wide and deep and long is the love of Christ, and that we may know this love that surpasses knowledge. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for such a transformational work in our lives. Lord, that is so evident by the way in which we walk out the kingdom of God as you showed us. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we believe that the kingdom of God is about power. And it's not force, it's ability, capability, possibility, intellectually, spiritually, and physically, that is beyond human ability, capability, or possibility. And we receive that. Church, would you do this for me right now? As we pray for Bob right now, would you just lift your hands for a moment? Just lift like a receptive type thing, a receptive posture, a physical expression of an internal thing. Would you, Lord, as we pray for Bob, we pray for healing on his body because that is the kingdom of God. Could I have a couple folks go stand with Bob just right now? And if anyone else, you have a physical ailment, could be that crud that's going around, would you just simply just take a moment, raise your hand, and can I ask some folks just to go gather around them right now and just pray the kingdom of God? See, you can't heal anyone, but you have received power to pray the prayer of faith for healing, to proclaim what God has done, that God is healing us today. Would you just do that for a moment, just for a moment? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for everyone that they would be made well in the name of Jesus Christ, for such is the kingdom of God. Paul said, it's not with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And we say yes and amen to that. But Lord, I'm asking in Jesus' name, it's beyond this room, and it goes into our everyday life, that the transformational work doesn't just happen here, but it's happening in every day. It's happening, God, in our jobs. It's happening, God, in the marketplace. It's happening in our schools. That God, not weird, not crazy, but just that simple life of Holy Spirit working. Lord, I pray that your word would become alive. Holy Spirit, give us the wisdom and revelation according to your word. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to fill us today afresh and anew, that we might live the kingdom of God. Thank you that you are here. We're not asking you to come from a distance. We're not asking for a yesterday promise. It is here. You are here right now, empowering your people to live out the kingdom of God. And we refuse to live in doubt and excuses. We refuse to live in our immaturity. We refuse to live in those places. We're not going to stay there, God. And when the word chokes us a little bit, we pray a Holy Ghost Heimlich, that you just cough it out and we would be able to receive the truth so we can go on to transformation, or as Paul calls it, maturity. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we say yes and amen to that. Would you just say yes and amen to that? Amen. Would you say it again, yes and amen to that? Yes. In Jesus' name. And we believe today that healing is taking place. And we believe today maturity is happening. And we believe today, Holy Spirit, you are stirring and awakening our hearts to Jesus. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen. Let's love on somebody, would you? Love on somebody. If you need some prayer, we're right here. We're going to pray for you. And God bless you. We love you today.